22 and sing all four verses of the Song of Rock. Page 92.
Pray. Well, good morning.
Good
morning. Did y'all see the rain clouds?
Yes.
What are you going to do if it rains?
Yes.
There you go. We're going to pray for the Lord for sure. This is a portion of our service where we go and we give God all the great things He has done for us. And now we're going to tell Him how much we appreciate it. So let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that You are our God. And we don't have to worry, we don't have to fret, because You are always in the background for us, never against us. And we're so thankful for that. And we pray that You will help us to focus and concentrate on the message this morning. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
It is our custom to prepare ourselves for the study of God's Word by having a few moments of silent prayer. During that time, we have the opportunity to name privately to God the Father any unconfessed sins, which ensures the filling of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, You are the sovereign of the universe. You are the Alpha and the Beta. We're so thankful that we have You, and You are always with us. And we are always looking towards You, and we're going to do our best to get as high as we can and for the things that You are going to show us. And we thank You for all of it, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, the first thing I want to say is, Happy Mother's Day.
Amen.
Where are your mothers? Let's see the hands. Hands. We have a lot in here. Let's give them a hand here. So I have a little bit that I'm going to give on Mother's Day now. And I was just looking at the headline that I'm going to go with. And it says Mother's Day at the top. That's fine. Then it says, How Christian Mothers Treat Their Husbands. And I started thinking, maybe I ought to make it sound like this. How Christian mothers should treat their husbands. I just saw that and went in my mind that that's what it was. Okay, so I'm going to give you, if you want to take notes, you can. I don't think the fathers have to, but this is going to be a few things here that you might want to jot down so that you remember it. Point A, she never puts him down or tries to tell him what to do. And if you're a husband and that's going on, you need to clean house. And I don't mean with a broom. B, she builds up and encourages him. How many of y'all need encouragement? I want to see hands. Doesn't everybody want to hear encouragement? Well, point C. She completes her husband and doesn't compete with him. Now listen very carefully to this. She completes her husband but doesn't compete with her husband. You know what is the difference between completes and to compete? One L. That's all that's in there. I've got it big showing you here. And you mothers, make sure that you are completing him and not competing with him. We have enough females out there competing with people with men these days. Point D. She obeys her husband and I'm not even going to say anything about that one, but of course the husband is in charge. Point E, she never questions his decisions in front of their children. In fact, if you have an issue with your spouse, you need to take it to another room where the kids can't hear and then hash it out. Kids don't need to hear that. There's a lot of children these days that have mothers that don't do any of these type of things. But I think the type we have here is showing you here how they would act. Now we have the next one is how children's mothers treat their children. I think I might put another word in there too. How Christian mothers should treat their children. Point A is she teaches them to respect their father and herself. That's very important. Point B, she knows you get what you expect of your children. So don't blame the children. You're not expecting much of them. Point C, she sets an exemplary model for to follow her children. And that's the hard thing to do because the kids are watching you all the time. And if you kind of get off the track a little bit, they're going to know it. And point D, she gives her children her love, attention, praise, discipline when they are challenged, when they challenge her or their father's authority. And that's a bad boogaboo there. You have always, you should go to authority and you don't challenge it. And then E, this is the last one here. Her children respect her, love her, and do the best never to disappoint or make her unhappy. This is what the children do. And where do we come full circle to? Respect again. Her children respect her, love her, and do their best never to disappoint her or make her unhappy. Okay, I've got one or two other little things here. This is a poem, and the name of the poem is Richer Than Gold. It's a very short poem, but there's a lot in it. So, here's the poem. You may have tangible wealth untold, caskets of jewels and coffers of gold. Richer than I, you can never be. I had a mother who read to me. That's a good one. By the way, that by Strickland Gillian from 1869 to 1954. So he was still percolating. And then this is the last one here we have. It says, the most important thing a father can do for his children is to love their mother. And it says this author is unknown. But that's the most important thing a father can do for his children is to love their mother, especially for the boys, for the males. If you have a father and he beats up on the wife or doesn't let her do the things that she ought to do, those boys are going to pick that up and they're going to try the same thing. A lot of times, not all the time, though. Let me get a drink of this. Okay. We're going to change gears now. From this point on, I'm just going to talk to you. We're not going to have any message today. I guess you could say it's a message. But this is me telling you things that I think is important. And so I'll get after it. Most people think... Oh, wait. Is that right? Yeah, okay. Most people think they have more time than really they don't have time. Back when I thought I could teach until I was 80, but obviously God has a plan for me. I'm not sure if this is the one I have on here. I think it might be. I just hadn't looked at it. What I'm saying is that I was ordained in Baraka Church in 91. There, thank you. And I have noticed something about that, because now, 35 years later, God is still in charge of everything. And I thought, and he still is, and with everything. And I thought I could teach till I'm 80 years old. And but remember, God is in charge, and God obviously has a different plan for me. And so I take that the way he meant it for me, because if you're down and you ever have something that's bothering you, and you, of course, you're never going to blame that on God, but just remember, he is always for us and not against us. My responsibility as a pastor is to study and teach, and that takes a lot of time and a lot of effort. But I'm also in charge of other things as well. For instance, I'm also in charge of my wife, my farm, my home, and my barn. And by the way, those things are 46 years old. And everything that I have at my house is old, including me. And what happens when they get old, they kind of deteriorate, and you have to be on guard so they will be what they're supposed to be. I'll carry on here. My car and my truck, as well as the needs for our church family. Now, that's quite a bit of things that I need, that I have in charge of. But I can't take those things any longer because the charge of all of these things, especially with my health, takes time and energy away from me. So things are changing here, and they're going to change rapidly. Just like I thought I could go all the way to 80 and keep teaching, God had another plan, and now it has come to reality. And I'm not afraid. I'm not in any way saying that the Lord has, for the first time, made a mistake. He doesn't make mistakes. So things are changing because I am not going to be here anymore. And well, I can't say it that way. I'll probably still be out there with you if I'm able. And if they need someone to fill in for somebody, I will be there too if I'm able to. But the steadfast believers who will do that is needed. So I'm telling you what I have seen in my life, and I know that these things are happening. So, however, some who go to Country Bible Church may go to another church immediately, but I guarantee you that Country Bible Church is worth saving. The people at Country Bible Church are by far the best I have ever seen anywhere. And they are all about love. I've had people come here so many times and they said, "There's something about this church. What is it?" And I said, "Well, it's love." And they said, "Oh, yeah, it is. It is love." And I'm so glad about that. They are all about love and Bible doctrine. They are easy to love, and I love every one of you. The Lord loves you a million times more than I do because He loves us with a love that we can't understand. If everyone came together at Country Bible Church, then we could be better than we ever were before. You see, there are going to be pastors or wannabe pastors come here in order to fulfill the pulpit, and you are the ones that have to stand your ground. You have to see the ones that is the ones that God will want to choose, because you, when they come in and they start giving their messages, it's, and you have to make a decision. You need to pray very hard in order to make sure that the ones that is going to be standing here is the one that God chose, not you choosing, because some people think, "Oh, well, he's so handsome, he speaks so well, and he does this and that." That's a bunch of nothing. And you have to be here, and you have to put your whole self, your whole soul here if this church is going to be saved. And it's not just this church. Every church that goes through this has to do the same thing. And usually there's just a giant rush to the door so they can get to the next church. But I have more faith in you, all of you, because I taught you. And you're not going to do that. You're going to do what is necessary, and God would reward you for that. You know, fear is the main enemy. It doesn't matter where you are or where anything happens. Fear is the enemy. It's why people give up on a church, and they do it very quickly, and they think, "Oh, well, let's go see, let's go church looking." We need to hang in there and rely on God's promises. God's promises can hold up anything. Here's a few verses for you in Joshua. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you." That is God's promises. And anything that's going wrong in your life and you need some help or whatever, the best place to go is to look at God's promises. Joshua 1:6 says, "Be strong and courageous." I just had somebody tell me before I started, they said, "Be strong and courageous." And I'm doing my best. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. "I have not commanded you," have I not commanded you? "Be strong and courageous," with an exclamation point. "Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Now I'm going to tell you something. Tomorrow I'm going to MD Anderson for my first treatment. And I'm not worried about it because of this verse. And the Lord your God is with you, what? Wherever you go. You can't miss that one. And that gives you courage. And we all need to have courage. We live in a wicked world, and there's so many things going on. And we have to be strong. And the strong is for you who have been taken in Bible doctrine for years and years. This is time that we're going to use it and be assured that you are God's child and that He is going to take care of you from the beginning to the end. And all the promises go along with that. There will be no Wednesday Bible studies for a while, because we're going to be too busy taking in the men who are wanting to fill in for me, or they're going to want to be looked at as possibly a pastor at this church. So there won't be any Bible studies for a while. The deacons have already started making arrangements for Sunday mornings. Now, we're not going to give up Sunday mornings. We're going to be here. I'm going to be here if I can. And I want to tell you something else. We have the best deacons I have ever seen in my life. They are exceptional. And they have love in their heart. And they work. When you're at home watching TV or whatever you're doing, they are here. They're working. And when they go to have the deacons meeting, they stay there for sometimes hours working, trying to do to be the best servant that they can to the Lord. And so I hope that you will tell them you appreciate the things that they do, because they certainly deserve it. And it's going to be even harder now. I keep telling you that because it's not easy. But if you stick together, and if you continue to love each other, then you'll have a chance for it to all come together. And God will see to it. You can still study the Bible by going to our great website. So you're thinking, okay, if we can't come on Wednesday, what can we do? Well, I'm about to tell you right here. I think I'll put this to show you our website. Let's see. Where is it? Is that it? No. Cam, I can't ever get behind here with her coming up here, and she'll come up here and say, oh, it's right here. Since she showed me this before, but I don't think I saw it right. Oh. That button was not there. I think she had one in her pocket. Okay, well, yeah, I hope all of y'all know what this is. This is our website. And this is a phenomenal website. And some of you, by the way, I have a lot, not a lot, but I have a number of people who were here when we got the church started. And, boy, they just warmed my heart. It's just so good to see them. I remember when Danny came here for the first time. My dad was out there, and he was on a fence, and he saw our sign out here. And it wasn't Country Bible Church. It was Bible Doctrine Church. And he came in here when he saw that, and he talked to my dad, and he said, where's the pastor? He said, he's around over there on the other side. And he came over there, and we started talking. And he was, it's so great to have people like him. He is the real thing. He's not the real Elvis, but he's the real thing, if you know what I mean. So anyway, what I want to show you is, one thing I want to say is, my wife, Carrie, is the one that put all this together and make it look really good. And I'll show you one reason why. If you look over here on this right-hand side, right, on that side over there, everything that you want to know is in those in that area right there. And as you go up, well, the first one is information. Then we have current series, autos, audio, and notes. And then we have previous series. I better put my glasses on. Previous series. Okay. Now, look how many of them that there are. You see? Look at that. See? And instead of a person coming here and having to go to another page to find it, it's all right here. And there are enough things just in this portion of it to have a person have something that they want to look at. They're going to find it here. And these things, like 1 Thessalonians and 2 Peter and all these things, when you go into them, you'll see that there are hundreds and hundreds of pages just on that one. And so you go to the next one or the next one and whatever. What I'm trying to say is you need to keep on taking in Bible doctrine, and I think this is the best way to do it. And you're in danger if you say, well, I don't know, I'll go to church and see another church and see what happens. If you stick with this, you're going to grow and continue to grow. And that's just on this side. It goes up to here, and then when you get down here, you have publications. These are some of the publications I have. And they are really good. I think they're good anyway. They might not be, but I think they are. I know they are. So that is what's done on the... We have somebody else who has worked on this in a big way, and that's Cam. I'm not going to say a person without giving... If I'm going to give them a law there, I'm going to say their name. Anyway, she has done so much on this also, and we have... look at this. The Book of Judges, Three Letters of John, Special, Scott DeWeese, God's Message in the Stars. Y'all, were y'all here when I was teaching that? Okay. And then we have a featured video. And all you have to do to bring these up is go to the left here, and it says Rumble and YouTube. And if I push the button, the Book of Judges, and hit that, then it would come up automatically. And so anyway, I hope that you will take these things and use them, because they are, I think they're accurate, and I know they're accurate, and they will just bring you in once you get into them. And that's what I want to see you do, is you'll have more on your hands as this is going along than you would anywhere else. Okay, so the website is, of course, countrybiblechurch.us. We don't have .org because somebody beat us to that, and so we just have the US on the end. There will be men coming here soon. Do what?
Turn off the screen.
Oh, I'll turn this off. There you go. I don't want it on today. If I was teaching, I probably would. But there are going to be people coming, men, to see if they might be the right pastor for Country Bible Church. Let me ask one of the deacons. We do have somebody coming, don't we?
Yes, sir.
Okay. They're on the spot all the time. I don't know why I even asked, but I knew they took care of things. So anyway, there will be men that will be coming soon to see if they might be the right pastor for the Country Bible Church. But make sure that you pray that the one you choose is the same one that God has chosen. That's what I had a while ago. Our goal is to reach spiritual maturity. How many of you here are trying to reach spiritual maturity? I want to see hands again. Well, I didn't know I had so many scholars out there. We need to remember to live the spiritual life and have a personal sense of destiny. I'm just giving you little pot shots here that I would like to see you carry on with these. So there are so many churches that don't even know what a spiritual life is. But that is where it gets really good. And we want to remember. You can be caught up in the things of the earth. Really, not the earth. I would say we live either thinking about God, acting with the things that we have learned from Bible doctrines. That's the spiritual life. And I don't know if you've heard of this one or not, a personal sense of destiny. How many of you have heard that? Well, I think there's a lot of people that went to Baraka in here too. That means that we behave in a way that focuses on our eternal destiny. And that's when you are really in the rarefied air. What you're doing is the way you conduct yourself now, you don't measure it by your destiny on earth. You take it all the way into eternity and your destiny. So when you do these things, then you can have you can know for sure that when you get into eternity, you're going to have a good eternal destiny. So many memories from the time we were adding on to CBC. These are just things that I just love to talk about. It was such a great time. I think the ones that were there first didn't see when we started expanding this church. And I can think back when we were doing the church, the men would do the church and the ladies would bring lunch. And we'd get out on a tree over here, and I never saw anybody get crossways with anybody. They would want to be, I would think, and sometimes. I'll give you an example. In the when we put the extension over where my office is, we were up on the roof, and it was so hot that it took my tennis shoes bottoms off. And I said, I can't stay here. And Charlie Morgan was a slave driver. Oh, you can stay here. You do it. And while I was talking to them, there was two guys that came up, and one of them wanted a vent on the end, and the other one wanted it on the top. And they came over, and they said, which one is it? And I would say, the one on the end. And they say, okay, and they turn around. They didn't argue with any. See, that means when you have a leader, and he says, this is it, that's it, forget it, go on, do something else. So, there's a big iron thing. See this big expansion right there? That's one big I-beam. And we had to take, there was a lot of people here, and we were pulling it up, and so many things that we did that I'll never forget. I remember, everybody knows Pete Mahoney, and we called him, what was it? He put Pookie Man, because he had the Pookie. And so when we have a little place where there's a spot that he would go through there and doing all that. And one day in that same area, he fell out the window. There was no window there, but he felt out where the hole of the window would be. And it was, a pretty good fall. No, I'm sorry. It wasn't a window. They were up on high, and they were putting a big board there, and it got out of their hand and fell out, and fell right where he was, and it knocked him over. And somebody said, "Pete just got hit," and I ran and just went through that opening, and went down there, and he was okay. I'm seeing a vision out here when we, I can't remember his name, but somebody help me with his name. He was the guy that was in the Navy for so long a time, and he had, he could play the piano.
Wilfred.
Thank you, Wilfred. And he would go over there, and Wilfred was a nice guy, but he was, I think the Navy kind of made him a little hard to be around, but you know what he told me? He said, "I want you to do my my funeral." He said, "I want you to give those Lutherans hell." And I said, I don't think I'm supposed to do that. So. But these are memories that just keep coming up, and they will for so long. I'm down to the end here. I know, because I already spilled the beans. I get my first treatment tomorrow at MD Anderson. And all this was my saying. I think about that great general, MacArthur, and he would, when he was going to leave the scene, he would talk to them and tell them what he thought needs to happen. And I can't say enough how much I love you. I got it out. Do you know that I pray for every one of you? I mean, not as a group, every person and everything that you need. And I do that because you're my family. And I'd like to see that go on. And I think it will. God has already got the plans, the blueprints going, and everything else that we need. So I don't know what else to do at this point other than to close, unless, see, I don't even know what to do here now. But I said my piece. So I think I'll just go to the Lord. Okay, what?
Well, for the record, I want to make sure that the accolade is due to Danny Warner over there.
The what?
Earlier you made a comment about Danny Warner. Danny.
Yeah. Oh, and I said Warner?
Yeah, you meant Danny Warner. I don't deserve that accolade.
Well, that's one another reason I'm getting my memory is fading some, and I don't want to let that go any further than that. And it might not, but I know this is the right time and the right place for it. So, if nobody else has anything to say, I'm going to go ahead and close. Uh-oh. Yes?
I'm sure I can probably speak for everybody in the room, but we want you to know publicly that we love you too. And
I know
have
that.
Enjoyed every minute at Country Bible Church. Mm-hmm. We've learned a lot. And you're certainly in our prayers, personally, you and Carrie, in the whole situation. So, and we are praying for someone that will be accurate in their Bible teaching more than anything else. I don't care what they look like.
Now, you hit it right on the head.
Yeah.
And when somebody gets behind this pulpit, the main thing is accuracy, because that's what it is. Yes, ma'am.
Who's everybody going to know when you die? You going to give that lesson? You going to give the gospel one last time?
Well, I usually do it when. That's a good idea though, because every Sunday I give the gospel. And I'm going to do it now then, because I'm out of my way that I usually do it. But I know all of y'all are saved, but this is what I say. I have the best news there is. You don't get any better. And I said, Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and He went to the cross, and on that cross He paid for sins. Your sins, my sins, the sins of the entire world. And He was, one thing that I like when He was on the cross, He said, it is finished, tetelestai. He came for a mission, and He, of course, made that mission exactly as what it should be. And so they didn't kill Him. He just dismissed his soul, and He went to the grave, and in that grave He was there for 3 days and three nights, and nothing could keep Him in that grave. He came out. And now he gives anyone who believes in Him eternal life as a gift. That's the only way God gives anything, is by a gift. And so they have a choice. They have the people that, there's this little thing up there, and that's what I'm usually talking to. It's up there. And I say, all you have to do is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. And I said that there are times when people, even believers sometimes, they slip. But what you need to let the people know is they are working so hard to get into heaven, and they're going further and further away from heaven as long as they continue to work to get to heaven. I remember when there was a time I was at I was a superintendent on a job, and we were in the shack before we got out to go to work. And one guy said, did you see the papers? This guy did this horrible thing that he did. And he said, he's going straight to hell. And I happened to be in there. And I said, well, he might be going to hell, but it's not because of what he did. And there were about four of the guys in there, and they looked at me like, are you an alien? What's the matter with you? And I said, because nobody goes to hell for their sins, because Jesus Christ paid for their sins. And I was glad I was the superintendent, because I think they would have jumped me. They don't like to hear it. Why do they not like to hear it? It's good news. But anyway, that's how that went. And that's Pam, you're the one that did that. Get me started on that. But that's okay. Okay, I'm ready to close. Are y'all ready for me to close?
No.
Well, I don't know.
What are we going to do after you close? You got 10 minutes.
I do. Oh yeah, I see the clock. The clock is actually running right today. That's good. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are Your children, and we are so thankful for it. We're thankful for all the things that You have given us in the future, that we can be so happy to get them. And of course, in my mind, the best one is Jesus Christ coming back to get us and take us home. There's so many people that I can think of in my mind that came to this church, and there's been a lot of them who have gone to be with You or other places. We want to show our love to everybody that we can, and tell everybody about the Lord Jesus Christ and how wonderful He is. We need to tell people straight when they're off course. We don't want to argue with them, but we want to give them the gospel. And the Holy Spirit is going to give them the ability to understand the gospel when they really can't because they are spiritually dead. We all need to put together ourselves and love one another and have confidence. And most of all, we want to be with you. And we will be for all eternity. There's so much love in this place right now, and we want it to stay that way. And we thank you for who and what you are. And we pray it in Jesus' most high and holy name. Amen. Just a minute. I got people out there pointing fingers at me. What is it?
We love you.